Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hurts firing one. Caught! Who else? A.J. Brown. Touchdown. Wilson lofting one for the corner. It is held on to by Freiermuth. Strong hands by Pat Freiermuth, and it's a touchdown for the Steelers.
Third and 12.
Hurts. Some pressure. Here comes Watt again, looking for that strip sack. Doesn't get that, but does get the sack. T.J. Watt delivers. Harris drops the ball. It is loose. Still bouncing around. I think Philadelphia has it. They do. Do it again. Hurts shove forward. Jalen Hurts is in. Touchdown, Philadelphia.
So that's what y'all wanted to see, huh?
It's a loss. I mean, let's not get dramatic.
Great opening limits. That might be your best one so far. Just tremendous. And according to Tom Brady, the Steelers lost to the Philadelphia Phillies and David Akers yesterday.
David Akers was kicking. But you thought Tommy did a good job yesterday.
Tom Brady has become great at the breakdowns. He has. He's great at breakdowns. He's great at scheme stuff. But unlike when he played quarterback, he misses the details, like the score of the game, Tom. Like five times he had to, one time he's like, so what is it here? He's leaning back, looking at the scoreboard. Oh, yeah, two touchdowns.
Well, they're on camera.
They're playing the Phillies. It's David Akers. It's DeMonte, what do you call him? Kazee.
Kazee, yeah.
The great Kazee.
The great Kazee.
So that was something. But here's the story, Limits. And first I must inquire as to your well-being.
I am well, Joe. I'm doing very well, and I hope the same for you.
I can't tell you how happy I am to hear that. I have a new Sabres hat that I'm very proud of. I think it's
very
the greatest,
nice.
Greatest logo in all of sports. Here's the story, and there's lots of them. There's lots of them, right? We're going to talk about Tomlin's coaching and everything else. The story now in the AFC is injuries, and not just the Steelers' injuries, Patrick Mahomes. It's injuries and how you treat them, how you manage them is the better word. How are the Chiefs going to manage Mahomes? How are the Steelers going to manage T.J. Watt and George Pickens? And I know they have Deshaun Elliott is a giant injury. I know that one too. Something tells me on a couple of those catches yesterday that either A.J. Brown or Devonta Smith would have been broken in half by our friend Deshaun. But I'm really talking about TJ and George first and Patrick Mahomes. How do these teams manage those critical injuries? How do you manage them going down the stretch here? And the question for me is, Do you, if you're the Steelers, we'll start with them, treat the Ravens game like a playoff game? In other words, TJ Watt and Pickens. If you're saying to yourself, man, if this were a playoff game, you'd have to throw them out there. And if they're saying to themselves, if it was a playoff game, I'd play. I would. Does that mean you play them in this game? In other words, if it was any other game but a playoff game, there wouldn't be much choice but to sit them. That would be the smart and prudent thing to do. But if this were a playoff game, you go out there, you gut it out, because TJ at whatever, 80% is better than anybody else. And George Pickens at 1% is better than any of the other receivers. How do you treat this? That's the question. And then the Chiefs, how are they going to treat it? Are they going to put Mahomes out there? I seriously doubt for their next game, because they have a 2-game lead for the number one seed and that critical rest that comes with it. But what about for the Steeler game? What if they lose and the Steelers win? Or what if other things, other machinations happen in the AFC where the Chiefs feel like they, well, the Bills is really the team they need to worry about, right? What if they feel like they need to win that Christmas Day game to buy themselves that week of rest and the one seed? How do they treat it? Do they treat it like a playoff game? That's the best way to phrase it to me. And here's my answer. If I'm Mike Tomlin and company with the Steelers, with the Ravens game, is you do not treat it like a playoff game. You do not. Because here's the fact of the matter. And I've been double checking and triple checking as if it were my list for Santa here. I'm double checking and triple checking. I just texted my friend Pony and he confirmed. I mean, I already knew this. I looked it up, but then I started to not trust myself limits. I'm not trusting myself. Is that the Steelers can lose this game and win the division by winning out after that. Depending on what the Ravens do, they might not even have to win out. But if they win out after losing to the Ravens, no matter what, they win the division. And I'll tell you how. It's because after, let's say the Ravens win this game, right? You're tied overall, you're tied head-to-head, you're tied with your divisional record if you take care of business. But the tiebreaker in there that's going to decide it, or could, is common games. The Ravens absolutely crush themselves by losing at home to the Raiders. Bottom line, if the Steelers beat the Chiefs, they'll have an advantage in the common game tiebreaker and will win the division. If anybody wants to dispute that, if I have just said something wrong, 412 928-9370. I have double checked this. I've triple checked this. I've checked it with Pony. Okay? And speaking of Pony, does that almost tempt me to give out a free pass for the a Pony pass for the Ravens game?
Oh boy, here we
go. A Pony pass for the Ravens game. No, I wouldn't do that at all. But listen, man, what I believed going into this 3-game gauntlet remains true. While the games are very important, or at least they were a little more important as far as getting, like, you know, possibly the one seed, things like that. The main objective, the thing you hope for the most after this 3-game gauntlet, is to be healthy. And then you see TJ Watt go down. You got to be healthy going into the playoffs. You're going to be playing on the first weekend no matter what. Of course I'd rather play at home. Of course I'd rather win the division. But it's probably only going to be one home game anyway. So I could go on for hours here. The bottom line is the Steelers can still win this division if they lose to the Ravens simply by winning out. So if the question I'm posing to myself, to ourselves, if I'm Mike Tomlin and company, is, should we treat this like a playoff game with our injuries? My answer is no. My answer is no. Now, that doesn't mean if TJ is 90%, do I put him? Yeah, I mean, if he would play in any normal game, then I put him out there. If it's only a case where this has to be a playoff scenario to put him on the field, same goes with Pickens, I'm not. I'm still being extra careful. And I'm also wondering about Mahomes, because that could obviously be a gigantic advantage on Christmas Day. And if you're the Chiefs, I mean, depending on how things work out next week, you're probably sitting him this game. And I know a lot of people think Mahomes is faking it. I mean, did you see the hit that he took? I don't think he's faking an injury here. He got banged up a lot in that game, but the one hit that he got injured on, go back and look at it. They almost broke him in half. I can't believe he didn't sustain a different injury on that play. So how do the Chiefs play it? You almost want to call their bluff, right, in that game, dare them to play Mahomes in a way. And if the Bills keep winning, and if the Chiefs lose their next game, well, then you got a little bit of a situation on your hands, right? Because that number one seed has to be precious to Kansas City. And they're playing the Texans on Saturday. So even though the Texans are mildly disappointing this year, without Mahomes, I think the Texans beat the Chiefs. So roll all that up into your pipe and smoke it here. I know it's not an easy call, because you want to win the division. You desperately want to win that every year. But the point is, you still can if you lose to the Ravens. You could have given yourselves a little more insurance by winning yesterday. But in the end, that was no contest. Come on. It was kind of a Rashard Mendenhall-like fumble by Najee because they had momentum. But you really don't think that the Eagles would have come back and did what they wanted against that secondary. Look at the final numbers of that game. 401 yards to 163, 26 first downs to 10, and they absolutely smashed the Steelers' faces in on that final drive. Just smashed them to pieces. They Steelered the Steelers. By finishing a game like that, as Chris Hoke said with Pomp, who's not here today, needless to say. Part-time Pomp is running the Tomlin News Conference. He'll be in tomorrow, and we love him dearly. Do we not, Limits?
He's the Mount Rushmore of Pittsburgh sports. He's my favorite.
Perhaps more than dearly, if that's possible. Chris Hoke said with Pomp on the KDK postgame yesterday, he wondered if that has ever happened in the history of the Pittsburgh Steelers, that a team would get the ball with 10.5 minutes left and run out the clock. Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? And part of that is because Mike Tomlin, who doesn't live in his fears, who plays to win, and any of his other catchphrases he uses to falsely claim that he's the most daring coach out there, punted from the Eagles 46 on a 4th-and-7, 4th-and-6, whatever it was, down 2 touchdowns with less than 11 minutes left. There's a site out there that Crowley uses and that I've seen before. It's something about cowardly punts, and it's unbelievable. It's an unbelievable website, and they rate them, you know, based on statistics. It's called Surrender Index 90. And here it is. Pitt decided to punt from Philly 46 on 4th-and-7 with 10:40 remaining, losing 27-13. With a surrender index of 16.53, this punt ranks at the 98th percentile of cowardly punts of the 24 season and the 95th percentile of all punts since 1999. What happened to the Lone Ranger here? What happened to Captain Take a Chance? What happened to We Don't Live in Our Fears, We Play to Win guy? Are you kidding me? Punting from the other team's territory down 2 touchdowns? And then what happened? And by the way, you're punting to a team whose quarterback has diced you up all day and carved up your corners. And you have James Pierre in the game. And what happened then? Well, Nick Sirianni shed his fears, didn't he? He was the coach not living in his fears. He let, knowing the Steelers obviously have a heavy pass rush that had big moments in the game, he let his guy pass from the shadow of his goal line multiple times, and he won the game deservedly. They shoved it down the Steelers' throats, Tomlin's throats at the end with just a mind-boggling 10.5-minute drive. Unbelievable that you would punt in that situation. But I digress. Let's get back to the main point here. It's injuries and how you manage them. What would you do at 412-928-9370? And I think, again, the best way to phrase this is, do you treat it like a playoff game? I mean, if it's a playoff game, TJ Watt's going on the field with one leg. He's going on the field at 40%, 60%, 80%, whatever it is. Like, where do you draw the line? I imagine Pickens would be too. It's do or die, season over in a playoff game. I do not treat this Ravens game like that. I need to satisfactorily answer this question. Would TJ and George go out there for most of the time? You know, there are certain situations. If you had a three-game lead in the division, you're playing the Cardinals at home, other than last year, you know, you sit them. But in most games, would they play anyway? Okay, then I'm playing them against the Ravens. If not, I'm absolutely not playing them, because as much as this seems like the be-all, end-all, it's not. It's not. They can beat the Chiefs after that, win the common game tiebreaker, and then beat the Bengals, and you win the division anyway. Limits, your thoughts before we get to the phones at 412-928-9370. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We got Tomlin at noon.
You know, Joe, I am approaching this as close to a playoff game as possible. Now, TJ Watt, I feel like...
So, no, you're not approaching it as a playoff game. You can't hedge on this one.
Then no, I guess I would not say it's a playoff game. But in the indication that I would, TJ Watt is the one outlier for that. Like, if Deshaun Elliott and George Pickens are just about good to go, they play for me. But TJ Watt is in such a different stratosphere than every other player on this roster outside of Russell Wilson, because he's your quarterback. To where if Watt needed an extra week and he can return against Kansas City, then I hold him out. Just because it's TJ Watt.
Wait, say that
and
again?
I don't want to potentially risk further injury to TJ Watt if he's not ready to come back.
Say that statement again. I didn't catch it.
What I would do is, if George Pickens and Deshaun Elliott are teetering on coming back at like 90%, I would play them, bring them back. But if TJ Watt is around the same spot, I would hold him out, because I don't want to risk him, because I think he's the most important player on this roster outside of Russell Wilson, because he's your quarterback.
I guess they all fall in, those three guys really fall into the same category for me. And again, you know, I hate to simplify it, but I think it needs to be simplified. Am I treating it like a playoff game or not? It's really simple. If they would play in a normal game, in most games, then I'm putting them out there. If I'm saying to myself, man, the only way I would put these guys out there is in a playoff situation, given the state they're in, I'm just not doing it. Because as important as this is, and it is important, the division's important, you really had a chance at the number one seed. I mean, I know we're going to get into this, but Mike Tomlin has butchered a couple football games here lately. The one in Cleveland and the one yesterday. You really should be in position still for the number one seed with the Chiefs coming here, but that's pretty much out the window. That is out the window. So this is simply just not the be-all, end-all game. It's just simply not. 412-928-9370, fan Twitter, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Limits, let's go straight out to the lines. Who do we got?
We'll start with Vincent in Columbus.
Hey, Vincent, what's up?
Hey, man. I do think we should treat it like a playoff game, just because I just think the difference between being a division winner and a wild card team is massive to me, just because you don't want to put yourself at risk of.
But you do hear the part that if they lose and they beat the Chiefs and Bengals, they're in as a division winner, right? They win the division.
Yeah, I understand. I honestly would go the reverse. I would just throw everything you have into the Baltimore game like a playoff game, and then the last two games, then you kind of manage the injuries.
That's interesting. That's what I would do. And I respect your opinion. That's interesting. I would actually, if I were taking that tack, I would throw everything into the Chiefs game. Because what's the difference? Either one, you set yourself, you clinch the division if you beat the Ravens. I get that. But you set yourself up to win the division too if you beat the Chiefs. Plus, you'd have those extra days of rest. Plus, you might not see Mahomes. That seems, as I sit here right now, like the more winnable game.
Yeah, that's where it gets complicated too.
It's complicated.
It really does come down to if Mahomes doesn't play. Because I would say if Mahomes does play, then I would throw everything into Baltimore because you know the familiarity with Baltimore and all that. So
I don't know, man. Do you think Mahomes is faking this? It seems like a lot of the country thinks he's faking it.
I don't. I mean, I watched that game yesterday. He did not look like he was faking it. So
me neither. He's got a high ankle sprain. You'd almost be derelict of duty if you're Andy Reid and company to put him out there. And this is where this crazy schedule, you know, forces people like Reid to make decisions and Mike Tomlin, big decisions in short periods of time with the big picture in mind. And for me, it's keeping in mind that the bigger picture is by far the more important one. Based on what I'm seeing and reading and looking at here, I'm going to be surprised if Mahomes is ready to play these games, let alone play them at full strength. Limits, who's next? Were you just in an argument with somebody?
No, I was talking to one of our frequent callers, Paul. We'll get to him very soon. But first, here is Tim in Brownsville.
Hey, Tim. What's up?
Hey, guys. My question is, what was the point yesterday in taking a 2nd and 20 over a 1st and 30? Tom Brady didn't even agree with that.
I know. He said that the Phillies were definitely going to get the first down after that. I'm with you 100% on that because the ball was at the 42. Why wouldn't you put them all the way back to the 32? Because they still had field position. You know what I mean? Plus, I don't know. I'd have to see numbers, but the idea of getting a first down, I understand that 2nd and 20, the percentages aren't good. But it feels like way worse at 1st and 30. 1st and 30. And I might have taken a big chance there, too, if I was Tomlin and Terrell Austin. I definitely would have put them at 1st and 30. You limits?
No doubt about it. 30 yards to get a first down on 3 plays.
You it's almost half the field.
You're basically gifting them. You're telling them that you need to go 10 yards per play, basically.
I think they're more prone to use give-up plays there. But then again, I mean, I hear people who say the Steelers couldn't cover anyway.
Draw plays, screens, just trying to get any bit of yardage back on first down.
I know Joey Porter after the game was adamant that A.J. Brown was pushing off. Come on. Down by the goal line near the end of the game, Porter was celebrating, like really celebrating an incompletion. And then right after that, legally, at the line, A.J. Brown just tossed him aside like a gnat. And Sirianni had the guts to throw the ball. They had more guts than Tomlin yesterday. And that's just a mismatch. Brady said it all game that anybody on A.J. Brown, probably in the whole NFL, is a mismatch. The guy's an absolute freak. And they have another great player on the other side. That's why you don't punt them the ball when you're down 2 touchdowns with less than 11 minutes left and you're in their territory. What are we doing here? But back to the main topic, and that's not even the worst thing Tomlin did yesterday. Limits, back to the phones, please.
All righty, let's go next to Vinny in Springdale.
Hello, Vinny.
Hello, Joe. Good show as usual.
Thank
but
you.
I agree with you 100%. Saturday is not a playoff game. If they lose, they're not done. So I totally agree with you. Watt shouldn't be playing, neither should Pickens.
Well, I'm only saying they shouldn't be playing if they determine that the only scenario in which they would play is a playoff game. Like, I'm fine if TJ's 90-95%, and if it was any other game, mostly you'd play him. Absolutely. Like, there is, you know, it's a significant game. It is. It's the Ravens, and you can clinch the division, then you don't have to worry about the Chiefs. It's a big game. So was yesterday, by the way. It's just not as big as being healthy for the playoffs. Plus, you can still win the division, again, for the 100th time, and I appreciate the call, if you win out after that. And depending on what the Ravens do, you might not even have to win out, but likely you'd have to win those final two games. And if you win the Chiefs game, you get the tiebreaker with the Ravens based on common opponents. It's just that simple. I know it doesn't seem like it, but that's kind of the more important game. Next.
Here is Kenny in Washington.
Hello, Kenny.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up?
All right. Hey, man, I'm just trying to figure out Najee Harris. Like, he fumbled the ball, man. Mike Tomlin's Mike Tomlin. He's been Mike Tomlin. That's not new to us. Najee Harris can't fumble the ball, man, on a drive after you run a good play, then you fumble the ball, and they go straight down and score on you. That's the game right there, man. That's the game. You get a chance to come back in a football
Why is that the game and not the Steelers getting two turnovers in Eagles territory in the first quarter and coming away with a total of 3 points? Why isn't that the game?
Because you can't win the game in the first quarter.
You can lose it.
Well, they were still in the game.
I know, and they were still in the game after Najee's fumble.
No, they wasn't. They were.
They were down by it. They were down by a touchdown with the ball deep in Eagles territory. Stop them.
Well, they was down by a touchdown when he fumbled the ball.
Yes.
To go in, and then they went down by 14 points.
Well, first of all, I don't know that they go in. They're still around the 20, was around the 20, 25-yard line, so they need to go in and tie the game and then stop the Eagles and then do something offensively. It was a big play, don't get me wrong, but to me, no bigger than you're gifted with two turnovers in the first quarter and you come away with 3 points. And then let's be honest. It's one play out of the game, a big play, yes. They got pushed around. That was varsity against JV. Will you admit that?
Yeah, I agree to that. But
all right, well, at least we're on the same page there. Don't get me wrong, though. I mean, it did kind of feel Mendenhall-like, didn't it? It's like they've got the momentum here against a good team in a pretty big game, obviously not the Super Bowl. And the difference here was, I mean, Mendenhall got cracked, right? He got cracked by Clay Matthews as soon as he touched the ball. Najee just dropped it, which I'm not sure I bench him after that, to be real honest with you. I'm not sure I do if I'm Mike Tomlin. But, you know, that was his choice after that. I don't think it made a difference after that because they barely touched the ball after that. But having said all that, here's what I would do. Here's the upshot of all that. And I'm not just talking about this fumble. The toss play to Najee.
Ugh.
The pitch out to Najee. Artie, what are you doing? Honestly, what are you doing? Stop. He's not a wide runner. I'm sure somebody can point to some runs he's made on pitch outs. That's great. By and large, the eye test tells me that toss plays to Najee are not good. Now, maybe somebody will disprove that. Maybe somebody has every toss play that Harris has run this year and will tell me they're good. But I can also point to, I think, multiple short yardage situations where he was stopped. He just doesn't strike me as a pitch the ball and get around the edge guy. Or even, you know, sometimes you cut back on that. Najee is a straight ahead power runner. I hate that play. You?
I cannot stand it. All season long, it just bothered me. And partly because with the pitch play, you had to, well, you're looking at the defense. You take your eyes off the defense to look at the ball, see the ball all the way through to your hands, then look at the defense. I just don't like the stylistic approach of the game, of the play, especially when Najee is not a fast runner. If it's Warren, I feel a little bit better about it. But I hate these pitch plays going wide to the short side of the field. You're cutting away the area that you could work with. Man, it doesn't make any sense to me.
I see other teams doing it too. I don't like the call. I mean, the Eagles, they were down by the goal line once in that game. It was a 2 or 3, and I think they had to settle for a field goal eventually. If you're down at the 3, if you're down at the 4, why wouldn't you just run 4 of those tush push plays? They're unstoppable. Line up, run it. Line up, run it. Line up, run it. Just keep doing that. I would do it the whole game. I said the same thing in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. There was a couple of situations where it was like 2nd and 3. Okay? So line up and run it 3 straight times. You think you're not going to get 3 yards? That play is unbelievable with that guy at quarterback and with their offensive line. It's just almost unstoppable.
Do you think they'll ever try to outlaw it? Well, I mean, like they've thought about it. Do you think they ever will?
I don't know. Other teams don't seem to be able to do it.
Yeah, why?
As perfectly as
them. Why do other teams not try it as much as them?
For one thing, they have 800-pound guards. They had the greatest center of our generation, practically, in Kelsey. Now they have another good guy in the middle. And then they have a quarterback who's built like, you know, the best running backs in the league. All of that.
Yeah, but other teams aren't even going to attempt it more than once or twice.
Yeah, they do. I mean, the Steelers seem to mangle it sometimes when they try it. Like, they mistime the guy pushing from the back and all that stuff. Although Russ did make a couple plays with his feet yesterday. Anyway, we digress. The story here is injuries. Period. How do you manage this if you're the Steelers moving forward? How do you think the Chiefs will manage Mahomes? 412-928-9370. I actually think the bigger game here is the Chiefs game. Call me crazy. But if I was going to lean toward playing anybody, you know, injured, it would be that game on extra rest. That might be the more winnable game, too.
So are you hedging your bets?
Even with the Steelers dominating the Ravens. What's the point spread now? I saw 6.5. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's a giant point spread.
Are you hedging your bets on Patrick Mahomes not playing? Because I would rather win this game, win the division, and then worry about everything else.
I agree with that. I do. But that doesn't mean I would put Watt, Pickens, even Elliott at risk in a game where otherwise, in any normal game, I wouldn't play them.
I just feel like it's the best path. And if Patrick Mahomes plays in this game, I feel not very good about it. Like, I think it's like a 50-50 coin flip.
Did you see his injury? He has a high ankle sprain.
Yeah, I did. I saw it. And I know it's a short week. They'll probably hold him out this week to play him on Christmas.
That's where the intrigue comes in.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is it just me or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Man, the last thing you wanted to see on that final drive is TJ Watt go down. Who do you think's their most important player? I heard the guys, the PM guys, wondering if it was Pickens last week. I would say there's three choices. I think Pickens, Russ, or TJ. And it's hard for me not to still say TJ. I mean, you saw what he did in that game yesterday before that. I don't know how Hurts didn't fumble before the half. That was like a miracle. And that would have been TJ's second force fumble. It's to me, and I've gone back and forth on TJ Russ. I think it's TJ Russell and then Pickens. You? And Hayward's pretty high up there too.
They're what, 1-10 without TJ Watt all time when he's been on the roster? I mean, I think that's pretty evident of itself. And then Russell Wilson will be the clear and obvious second place guy.
The only reason I gave the Steelers a chance as I was watching the game is because they come with serious power from the edge. They really do. I mean, they have three great pass rushers. Maybe one great, two very good with Watt, Highsmith, and even Herbig. And then Cam, you throw in Cam. Their pass rush is the biggest reason I think that they could still advance in a playoff situation. They bring it. Now, unfortunately, Tomlin also mangled the end of the first half. I mean, that was coaching malpractice. And that gets me to where I want to go here, which is the inconvenient truth with Tomlin. And we've talked about this the past few weeks, Limits. He's the indisputable star on Hard Knocks. He's a compelling character. He's, by all accounts and appearances, a really good man who cares about his players, and he's a good coach. The question around here in recent years has been, is he still the right coach for this team? Maybe this year he's proving yes. He's having a good year. Final results pending, I might add. But let's not retroactively play out these last couple of years like, oh yeah, I was completely wrong forever harshly criticizing him, or man, how could we have even said that it might be best for Tomlin and the Steelers to part ways? Because there were legitimate reasons to. That's why the inconvenient truth regarding Tomlin is that he has not come anywhere close to winning a playoff game in 7 years. His defenses have been destroyed in the playoffs when the Steelers make the playoffs. Sometimes they don't. His team has won three playoff games in the last 13 years against Matt Moore, A.J. McCarron, and Alex Smith, which was a good win. They didn't score a touchdown in that game, but that was the last of the, that's when the Chiefs realized, you know, we need to draft a quarterback. So how do we reconcile that? Like, I don't want to go overboard one way or the other. I feel like people have gone overboard this year with the, oh my God, how could we ever have ever questioned him? Because there was legitimate reason to question him, and there still is when it comes to the biggest games. That's why all this praise deserved for making that Lone Ranger move to Russell Wilson. That was a gutsy move. It looks like he was very right about that. So do we ignore that he completely butchered the quarterback situation and lost 2 years out of the careers of Watt, Hayward, and Minka by drafting Kenny Pickett, his choice to draft Kenny Pickett, his guy, and the fact that he hired and doubled and tripled down on Matt Canada? How do we reconcile all of that? I don't reconcile it by saying, oh my God, we were all crazy. Look at this guy on Hard Knocks. He's one of the greatest coaches of all time. That's not the way I reconcile it. The way I do is he has a lot of proving still to do that he can win big games. It's been a long blank in time since this guy showed he can win big games. I wish it wasn't the case. That's why I call it an inconvenient truth. I mean, you have, I've mentioned it both weeks of Hard Knocks. They open usually with all three coaches, other than Tomlin, in the AFC North. So you see the coaches more than anybody else. The other three guys look like cliche spewing duds of personalities. Tomlin's a movie star. But that's very separate from, again, the inconvenient truth that every one of those guys has won playoff games more recently than him. I know it's very inconvenient. But it is kind of the bottom line until proven otherwise. 412-928-9370. And now I wonder what's going to become of the rest of this season. I do. You know, it's not like they haven't collapsed before under Tomlin. They've had late season collapses. And if they don't win this division, that is a collapse, by the way. That can be rectified come playoff time because, well, wait, am I allowed to say the playoffs are all that matters? Because if the playoffs are all that matter, Tomlin hasn't come close to winning a playoff game in 7 years. That's very inconvenient. I'd rather say, well, they're always in it and his teams always win 10 games and, gee, isn't everything great and he's one of the greatest coaches who ever lived, like everybody's saying off Hard Knocks. I'm just not convinced that's the case. Pending further proof. That's why they play the rest of the season. It's very conflicting, City Limits. And as I've mentioned a number of times here, it's very inconvenient that he doesn't win big games anymore.
Well, I mean, obviously the lack of playoff success is a significant issue, and I still am pretty adamant that Tomlin needs somebody on the sideline with him for clock management. Like, there was another timeout usage in the game where I was just questioning it, wondering why. Why do you call a timeout in that situation? And they waited 25 seconds late in the first half, too, to get the ball back. So that's another thing that I always question and wonder with him. But, yeah, I mean, coaching was not a strength for them yesterday, and I thought that they had the advantage with coaching with Tomlin, Danny Smith, and Terrell Austin over Sirianni and his bunch. And I expected them to get out physical and up front. I didn't think it would be this bad.
I heard other people say that, too, before the game, that the Steelers' big advantage in that game was Tomlin. And, in fact, it worked the other way. Sirianni was the one not living in his fears at the end, letting his guy throw from the goal line. Tomlin was the one punting from the other team's 46 with 11 minutes left, down two touchdowns on a 4th-and-7 or whatever it was. And then there's also, again, sort of going against the grain of Hard Knocks, another very inconvenient truth is he's had two of his worst games in recent memory in these last four games. They're 2-2 in their last four. And the Browns game in Cleveland was one of the worst decisions of his entire career, to basically have a red-hot quarterback, starter, clear-cut starter in Russell Wilson, the guy he went Lone Ranger for, standing next to him on the sidelines and letting Justin Fields throw a ball 40 yards down the field with the game on the line. His first such pass in about a month. It was insanity. By Artie Smith and Tomlin. Just coaching malpractice. There were other questionable decisions in that game. Namely, not calling the Browns' bluff, Stefanski's bluff, on that 4th-and-2. You want to kick it in the snow? Go ahead. We'll still have time to come back. Instead, they take the penalty. We know what happened from there. A lot of the other decisions are 50-50. I don't have a problem with Tomlin going for it from his own territory, that type of thing. But, man, to bench basically your starting quarterback for the biggest throw of a game that you're trying to win when the number one seed's still out there and everything else, it was crazy. And then yesterday, another case of blatant coaching malpractice. You have about 1:55 left in the first half. You have two timeouts. You used one before the 2-minute warning. I didn't really understand why you didn't use two before the 2-minute warning. Then you basically get the ball back with 2 minutes left. But whatever, that's one of those, whatever. Different coaches do different things. He let almost half a minute go off the clock. Do we have that? Ray Fittipaldo asking him, and one of the most mind-boggling explanations for that. I mean, they were getting back in the game. They were back in the game. A nice throw from Russ to Freiermuth. You were about to have a crappy punt by the Eagles with great field position. Now, I get it. You didn't know they were gonna have that kind of punt. But still, you would have had plenty of time, almost 2 minutes, to go down the field, I think, still with a timeout. And he let a half a minute in that situation. I don't know, is that 25% of the time left in the half go off the clock with everybody just standing around watching? Then they finally call timeout with 13 seconds on the play clock. I mean, it was mind-blowing. And Ray Fittipaldo asked Tomlin after the game, and this was his explanation.
You know, I got caught up, man, in some information, and I'll just leave it at that.
Caught up in some information? Did he go to look something up on the internet at that point? Did he go to Wikipedia or Google to look up, you know, famous facts? What do you mean? What information?
I don't know what information he could have been caught up in.
What was he caught up in other than the clock and the game? That's what was happening.
Did they want
the clock and the game?
Where they were on the field? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. That does not make any sense. Like, unless somebody was trying to say something to Tomlin through their headset.
No.
And
go back, to your first statement. It doesn't make any sense. And that's a horrifying explanation that he needs to somehow elaborate on today when he talks to the media. I don't know that I've ever heard that one. I don't even know what to say on that. Can I hear that again? Ray Fittipaldo asked Tomlin, what happened when you lost almost 30 seconds late in the first half and didn't call a timeout?
You know, I got caught up, man, in some information, and I'll just leave it at that.
Just leave it at that.
Just took a little trip on the information highway, hopped in the car. I'm speechless.
When Tomlin says I'll leave it at that, typically it means he is angry about something. So I wonder if whatever information was being given to him was honestly somebody in his headset trying to tell him something, whether it be Mike, this is the time left, or Mike, this is the personnel, Mike, and he just gets like so annoyed with somebody that was in his headset that he just kind of zoned out for a little bit and forgot to call timeout. That's the only logical thing I could think of. And still, it's not good enough.
Or logical. It's illogical. Does he have somebody in his headset who's giving him, you know,
he should for clock management,
game strategy advice, like clock management? I mean, I don't, that one, other coaches do bad things. It was the guy in Chicago, Eberflus, the way he butchered the end of that game against Detroit on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, no timeout. Just leave it one with your hip pocket, Joe. That's
a 10 out of 10, what Eberflus did. Like, that's you can't have someone coaching your team doing that.
He Eber lost his job because
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, I mean, Tomlin, like that was like a 6 or 7 out of 10. What the hell is he doing?
No logical sense.
I'd rather hear him just say, I had a brain fart. I blew it.
And they went down the field other than the sack to be able to get in field goal range. I mean, if they had another 30 seconds, imagine what they could have done. Maybe even scored a touchdown.
They did butcher it after that, too. Freiermuth had a fumble and then a drop on back-to-back plays.
And Wilson got sacked.
He recovered his fumble. Then he dropped a ball. And then Russ got sacked. And then they actually had a nice little play to Calvin Austin down the seam to at least get a field goal out of it, which was good. But just situation butchered there. What are you doing? And this has been, Tomlin, 2 of the last 4 games. So where do we go from here? They're a 6.5-point underdog in Baltimore. Do they win that game? I don't know. They lose, they're 10-5. Is Mahomes ready to play? I don't know if he is, and the Chiefs come here and win. Then you're 10-6. And I don't think that's unrealistic at this point. Do you?
No, I don't. I like their chances a lot better if Mahomes does not play, just because, I mean, it's
self-explanatory. You and everybody else on the planet, yeah.
I think, though, that just the way that they play Baltimore, and, you know, the Steelers have not won in Philly 11 games in a row since 65. We talked about, is that like a real thing with a house of horrors?
No, it's not.
Okay, well,
what does that have to do with Mike Tomlin not calling timeout?
I'm getting to it. The game against Baltimore is what I was getting to. The Steelers have been a real house of horrors for Baltimore. I mean, and Mike Tomlin has had John Harbaugh's number. So the logical question that I'm asking is here, why not go full force against Baltimore where you've been so good historically and have their number?
When you say full force, you're talking about playing guys who are injured when you normally wouldn't play them in any other game. That's what you're talking about.
That's what I'm talking about.
I think that's crazy. I still main objective above all others is for Mike Tomlin to finally go into the playoffs with his best players healthy.
So then why not win this game against Baltimore, clinch the division, and then rest your guys the next 2 weeks?
Because if you put guys out on the field who you normally wouldn't put out there injured, you're risking further injury.
So do you want to hold out T.J. Watt, hold out Elliott, hold out Pickens until when? The Chiefs?
Until I can answer this question satisfactorily. Would they play in a normal game? If my only criterion is, am I treating this like a playoff game? Like if TJ's 60%, am I putting him out there? I think that's crazy for both of these games, as a matter of fact. For both. If I was going to err on the side of playing guys hurt who I normally wouldn't play, it would be for the Kansas City game because of the extra rest. And despite what you just mentioned about them having Baltimore's number, given the Mahomes situation, I think they might have a better chance of beating the Chiefs at home than the Ravens on the road.
Yeah, but we don't know what the Mahomes situation is yet. Like, we don't know.
Either way, I'm not risking T.J. Watt and Pickens for this game. I'm not putting them on the field if I wouldn't put them on the field for most other games.
I would much rather play Pickens than Watt, which sounds like a foolish take, but just because of Nick Herbig and Alex Highsmith compared to what we've seen from this wide receiving core, which is the bare bones minimum. And we know that there's a suitable Nick Herbig that can follow.
928-9370, 50-minute mark on the fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 937thefan.com contesting page. Mike Tomlin, news conference at noon. Coming up next, the two topics really on the table, the inconvenient truth with Mike Tomlin and playoff wins and his work in two of these last four games, and also the injury situation. What would you do here? What would you do? What you need to know is that this is not a must-win game. The Steelers could lose this game, and then no matter what else happens, if they beat Kansas City and Cincy, they win the division. Why, you ask? Because the tiebreaker would be won by beating Kansas City. What tiebreaker, you ask? Common games. And the tiebreaker for a division title goes head-to-head. If Baltimore wins this game, Steelers and them are tied. Then it goes divisional record. If they both take care of business outside of this game with their final games in the division, they'll both be 4-2. Tied. The third tiebreaker above conference record is common games. And right now, the Ravens finished, they have 8 common games. The Ravens finished 5-3 in those games. The Steelers are 5-2 in those games. If they beat the Chiefs, 6-2. Thus, they win the division. Even if they lose to the Ravens, they win the division by winning out. Therefore, I won't say I'm being like ridiculously conservative with these injuries. I'm simply mapping it out this way if I'm Mike Tomlin and company. If we would play TJ against the Jets in October, then I'm playing him against the Ravens. If it's only, hey, I wouldn't put this guy on the field in any situation but a must-win, then I'm not putting him out there. Or Pickens or Elliott, for that matter. Maybe we're not talking about Elliott enough. He's an incredibly important player. I wouldn't put him near on the level of Watt and Pickens. Those are the two main ones. And then how does Kansas City treat Mahomes now? That's going to be fascinating as well.